Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
And so we welcome you again to yet another conversation space. This is the scripture, the study hour, rather, and we call this segment Make It Practical, where we just take time, right? You and I go through God's word, try to discuss some of those matters that affect us on a daily basis. But we don't just apply scripture. Sometimes it's a bit it comes in a bit ethereal, it comes in a bit lofty, and so we want to bring it down, make those concepts practical, make those concepts applicable on a daily basis. So today we are continuing with our series. This week we are looking at the Good Samaritan as we make it a practical, that story practical. And we want to look at the religious indifference that's sometimes shown in these kind of stories, and in particular the story that we're currently considering, Luke chapter 10. And this conversation we are looking at today covers the shocking behavior of the religious elite in this parable. A man is brutally beaten, stripped, and left half dead on a dangerous road. Then comes two individuals, and it's almost like God sent, right? Let me send this man some religious folk who can assist him. A priest and a Levite come through. They see him. These are supposed to be keepers of compassion and the law, right? Yet they pass by on the other side, the Bible testifies. Today, as we then look at this passage, we are examining the dangers of mechanical religion and the excuses that we sometimes make to ignore suffering, and why seeing a need doesn't always lead to meeting a need, and why the difference is so apparent in those two. Join us as we have this conversation. Share your thoughts, your comments, +27 73 470 3520. Pastor Marandure joins us to guide us. Moruti, good morning and welcome.
A very good morning, and how are you? Thank you so much.
We are
all
doing
the welcome,
okay?
And we hope God is going to. Oh, I mean, I'm all right. We hope God is going to help us. This is quite interesting.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah. This is a packaged conversation, Mfundisi, especially as it touches some of your colleagues there in the ministry to say, "I'm Mfundisi, you are just teaching, Kanti. You don't live this life."
Man, I'm shooting myself right here. Man, I'm shooting myself. It's close, I won't tell you.
Yeah, but thank you, Pastor, for willing to stand in the hot seat and help us make sense of it all. And let's jump straight into the conversation. Is there any significance, especially to how Jesus specifically chooses to address the story of a neighbor, but uses clergymen, not just believers, not just lay people, but clergymen, the priest and the Levite in this case, to be the ones who are said to have passed by?
Yeah, it's actually so heartbreaking.
Yeah,
because Jesus is choosing. He's actually talking of a neighbor, but in the neighbor part of it, now he chooses to bring in the clergy, and the clergy, being a custodians of the word of God, being the depositories of the grace of God, which they need then to distribute. This is where we can say these are the models where we can't see God physically, but now we see these men and we see who God is. We see in them the attributes of God. And one of the attributes of God is love, because the Bible then says, if you do not love, then you do not know God. You don't know. So we cannot talk of God out of the context of love. And the only place where we can come closer to see who God is, it is when we come to the clergy. We come to the clergy. Now when the clergy are found to be on the opposite of love, or they are being selective in their approach and the way they distribute this love, now that becomes so questionable. So now Jesus said to consider placing some characters whereby you would not expect that to happen, but it was happening, just to show the heart of the Jews. Okay, fine. If Jesus had picked just a random character, you know, the clergy would have then said, ah, no, we are exonerated from this. This is not our thing. If it was the clergy, would have done it better. But now Jesus had to pick the far extreme characters, which then shows exactly how it is. If the clergy can do so, what more of the church members?
Right.
Jesus said to handpick these people, because these were supposed to be the depositories of the grace of God, the distributors of Islam, but they failed on this part.
Yeah, they failed, Shem. May God help us. May God help us.
Oh, yeah.
What does it mean, especially when you look at verse 31, it expresses that the priest passed by on the other side. How do you apply that in our context, and what are we supposed to learn from the symphonies?
Okay, for obvious reasons, he had to pass by on the other side. I believe he didn't want to identify or to be identified with this incident or this whatever had happened here. He wanted to be as clean as possible, even in a distance, geographic distance. He just wanted to be, he didn't want to be associated with this man. This man is dead. This man, or is beaten another. I believe he was not dead.
He was left for dead, but was not dead.
So I believe there was some yawning in him, some groaning in him, some eye opening and some hand trying to reach out, please help me and all that. But then he decided to just to distance himself. For perchance some religious maybe justification or for whatever it was, but this was so clear. Okay. He saw that this man was not part of them. This is something that is interesting. I don't know what it is, but now the Bible talks of a Samaritan coming to help. This is specific now, but this man was one of them as a Jew. Well, the Samaritan did not come to help a Samaritan. It was not like that, because we can't then say he was good because he was helping his very own. But this man was a Jew, and yet the pastor is deciding to look the other side and go, avoiding any contact and avoiding anything to do with this man. And yet he was his very own. Now imagine how he could have done if this man was Samaritan. He could have actually finished him off. You know, see that the way we even treat each other as Adventists, as Christians. Imagine how we would treat others who are not of the same faith with us. That's why we, that's why actually we even give them names. We give them. I'm trying to pick up a name that is closer. You know, when you come to church, we always actually identify them. We have a non-Adventist. We have that in itself
is the world.
Good. And we call them the world. We call them Babylon. It's not good. We call Philistines. These are Philistines. Okay. You know, and yet by ourselves we treat each other so badly. We backbite each other. We drag each other's names in mud. We pull each other down, even on Facebook, with all these things. This is exactly what this guy did. But trying to take another direction was trying to quickly move away and never to associate. I tell you, how many times do we disassociate ourselves from our fellow brothers because they have fallen short as far as financial power is concerned? The muscles weak, at times they are sick, at times they are down, they've been fired, they've been demoted, and all of a sudden cannot pick up their calls.
Yeah, may God help us.
The moment you don't pick up their calls, you are simply going the other side.
You are going over to the other side. Maybe Mfundisi, we are being too hard. And I understand that you've already kind of explained to say, you know what, perhaps this guy was making some noises, so it was kind of clear he wasn't dead. But maybe the priests and the Levite didn't see. They recognized, there's a body lying there, and they thought, maybe it was a Sabbath, I'm going to service, and if I touch this dead body, I mean, ceremonially, they would now be unclean, right? There's defilement now. Or maybe they are the ones who are in charge of the service. The service is waiting. I'm also running late. Maybe let me allow someone is going to come by. It's a busy road. Let me run by and quickly make sure that Sabbath school is started. Maybe the main service is taken care of. Maybe Holy Communion was being prepared for that day. They need to make sure that the wine and the blood is and the bread is prepared. I don't know. Could there be maybe some justification for this inaction?
Yes, there could be that justification according to them. And
according to them.
Yeah. According to them. Yes, according to them, definitely there was some very good justification. Perchance, being in touch with the dead body might have messed up them. Or maybe they could have seen that this guy is still alive, but now taking care of this man would have delayed them from going to do what they were supposed to be doing in church.
Yeah.
And again, that would have stained them in the process. But this man was beaten, obviously, he had blood all over him. There's no way you would help this person and you don't have that blood somehow staining you as well. They didn't. And that whole entire process, they just didn't want. But you see, the problem now that we have, we may look into this, but there's no way Jesus would have told this story and he did it. It had nothing to do with us even now in the 21st century. I tell you, it has also the same impact with us. When we have got laws that guide us, when we've got things that help us to have order in the church, in the way we do things, those things are important outside of the Ten Commandments. But that doesn't mean we should not take care of fellow human beings when they want our assistance, our help. You know, What they were doing, like, you don't have to come dead here. You don't need to get in touch with a dead or to have anything to do with a dead body. All these things, they were not part of the Ten Commandments. But these were laws that were put just trying to safeguard the Ten Commandments, trying to bring some sanctity. I want to come so closer home. In our church, we've got policies that are not Ten Commandments. And people will not do what we need to do and help people. And we're saying, those are policies, they say. Those policies are saying this. Let me tell you something. Those things are done for our order and done for things to move well. But where there's need of a human being to be helped, please, let's help a human being. Because God did not send Jesus to die for policies, but to die for people.
Yes.
And people are going to inherit heaven, not policies, not another thing. Yes, the law is holy. Let's keep the law holy. But these are the policies. Amen. When they say, I'm going to give you some, this is a point of wickedness that I once had in my life. Mm. You know, a relative had visited us, and after a long time, and she had been pregnant, and then this guy did not want the pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And my mother was there, and it was, she came on a Sabbath just as we were about to go for church. And my mother said, no, let's cook food for this person. Let's prepare some hot food, because she's saying she last ate, I think she's got 24 hours, even more than 24 hours before she ate. And let's prepare something warm, at least for a start. I tell you, that pissed me off. That took me out of the rail. How can it be on a Sabbath? How can it be on a Sabbath? We must not put things on a Sabbath here. The law is clear. But my mom was so adamant, and I could not do anything, because that was not my house. That was her house. Those were pots and the stove and food. She went on and she did what she did. But I was so pissed off. Until I grew up in faith and in stature, I said, no, she was very correct. Mm. We need to do some things for human beings. Oh, yeah.
We need to do some things for human beings, indeed. Yo, Mfundisi, you just really hit the nail on the head right there. That sometimes we are just I mean, it's legalistic, really. There isn't any other thing. And I think Christ comes across this scenario, right? Mark chapter 2, where they then start the bigots come through and start hammering me on the head. How dare your disciples do this? Don't you know that there is a thing called the Sabbath? And it's like, hey, the Sabbath is for mankind. It's for mankind. Yeah. It becomes a challenge when we value the Sabbath higher than people, and then life becomes secondary to keeping a particular law. And I think this is that thing that Christ was trying to have us understand, to say, hey, the letter of the law is important, but it's the spirit that gives unction to the letter of the law. And if you miss the spirit, then what have you done? You have missed the whole law in totality. That's why in another parable, I know I'm mixing parables now, but in another parable, Christ addresses the importance to another one who is coming to test Christ. And he says to him, hey, if you want to be going to heaven, why don't you keep the law? And it's like, I've done it. I've done it from my youth. The young man says, I've done it. And he says, okay, sell everything and give to the poor. And it's like, wait a minute. Now suddenly he can't do that now. But yet that's the thing that's exemplified in the law. He knew the letter of the law, but the spirit was something very far, very far from him.
It was very far.
Yeah.
It was. That's exactly what these guys did. That's exactly what these guys did.
You
know, personally, I feel it was going to be more heroic to say, hey, I'm late. I had to stop by and help a fellow Jew. Things happened and it was so bad. Like what we said yesterday, it could have been me, gentlemen. Would I have wanted someone to pass by and leave me to die? And this man had been stripped of his clothes. It's been stripped of his clothes. So he was naked. And I know the attires of the priest then. I tell you, there'll be many layers of clothes. He could have shed one or another layer and still remain. And you know, but you know, it's unfortunate. Yeah. I don't know if he had testimony in church to say, hey, I'm here, but I left someone. I don't know. I just don't know.
Let's pray for a brother I saw on the road. Let the Lord assist him and preserve his life. May God have mercy on us. May God have mercy on us. Mfundisi, I want us to close it off to say, what is the difference between seeing a need and being moved by a need? You mentioned this in our intro, to say, well, what's the difference? When you identify a need, well, what's the call that God is trying to present on us? Is it mandated that we mustn't act on it? Or we can just see, recognize, and maybe pray in our hearts?
Okay. Hey, my brother, that one is a very, very, very important question that you've brought there.
Yeah.
I tell you, I'm personally convinced that each moment I come through a situation, it means God wants me to play a role in that situation. There is no way a situation will present itself before me and God is just simply allowing things to happen for no good reason. I tell you, I always say, do you know, there's no information that comes through my ears. There is nothing that comes through my eyes. And God did not see that coming. So there's a reason why this thing has come through me. Now, if I don't act, God will then say, but what did you do with this situation that was before you? Those people, the priests, the Levite, in as much as they preserved the holiness that humanity would see before God, within them, they no longer had the holiness that God wanted because they had failed to act where they were supposed to have acted. So seeing precedes the action that we will do. I cannot do something when I have not seen it. But because I've seen it, it means I need to do. It's clear. You see someone who is angry and you've got a few dollars to spare, God wants you to deal with that hunger right there and there. What will happen afterwards? God will take care of that. If I see someone in trouble, I must do something. I must, you know, there's a habit whereby we had people who would actually be more like they're more like con men, because they'll present a sobering story before you and they just want the money from you. You give them now, you think I've helped this person, before you know it, the person is in another street, is still doing the same thing, until you bump into the same person, is forgotten about you, they're still sharing the same story, until people then said, these people are liars. they stop helping people. And some, they even come to church dressed so bad. You help them, but before you know it, in another church, you find them, they're still sharing the same sobering story. And people said, ah, no, let's not help. Then I said, no. We must continue helping these people because they came to us and God knew it. Who knows? There could be some angels in disguise. They want to see how we're going to deal with them. I don't know. It's just that Jesus was saying this thing as a parable, but I tell you, who knows? It could have been an angel in disguise who is actually laying down. Would you be happy to say, I left an angel there? Where are you rushing to? So I'm simply saying, when a situation presents itself, ask God, what is it exactly that you want me to do? Now that's your prayer. And then after that, you're now acting. Don't say prayer will replace your actions. No. Pray for what you need to do, and then God will lead you on what you need to do physically. Praying alone is not enough. Yes, pray for people in Iran, pray for people in Israel, because you are not there. But for those who are closer to you, do something.
Do something. Do something. James says,
Oh,
what would it
yeah.
help for you to say, go in peace, and you do not meet their need? Fudisi, thank you so much. I
Imagine.
think we'll leave it here. We appreciate you once again for just calling us to order, calling us to action, and making this passage practical for us. God bless you. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much. May God bless you too.
Amen. If you have any other comments and if you want to learn more, you can get in touch with us here in studio, +27 73 470 3520.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.